Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buddy,
things are stuff to talk about.
I know. I absolutely know.
How do you want to format this? Because we could just reintroduce the anger scale with a bang and do a whole show of anger.
Well, I think actually recent event, like I have some anger scale stuff, but I think recent events have sort of superseded that. I think we need to talk about
meaning Brian Baio,
Giolito, and Baio.
Both. Okay. Well. Yeah, the first anger thing I have is about Giolito.
Well, this is the Monsters of Sox with Dan and Brian. Dan, get into it. Let's go.
What are we talking about?
My man is wearing a turtleneck. He's ready to fucking spit fire.
It's not a turtleneck, actually. It's a roll neck sweater. There's a difference. Do you see the difference here?
I see the difference.
You see the difference? It's a roll neck sweater. My favorite soccer podcast host on the Stadio podcast always wears roll neck sweaters, which I only know because they always talk about it, not because I don't watch podcasts on YouTube because I'm not a fucking psychopath.
Well, speaking of that, I needed to ask you a question. Did you realize that I click when we do this recording, only record the audio, and yet. The Fans First Sports Network had video podcast of us.
I genuinely don't know how that happens.
I have no idea how it happens.
I don't know how that happens.
Big Brother is watching us. That's fine. But yeah. Now I'm at least aware of it.
I know. They posted a couple of times. As far as I can tell.
They posted a couple of times because the first time they said I was Keaton.
They did say you're Keaton. No, that's actually not. They did it before and you didn't notice. And I did notice, but yes, the second time they called you Keaton.
I would say there are worse things, but I'm not quite sure there are.
I know. I was going to respond to that tweet with a sick burn in your direction.
They DM'd me apologetic, and I was like, guys, I don't care. It's just Keaton. I pretend.
By the way, before we get into this, I can barely hear you. I don't know if that's my fault or yours.
I'm talking right into the microphone, so I don't.
And know. And that has changed. That has changed nothing on my end at all. I think this one's your fault. I don't think this one's my fault.
This is not why I'm despondent. So Sam is, I've warned him against coming into this.
Sam Kennedy, CEO and president.
My son, Sam, I said, don't interrupt me when I'm doing this podcast. So since he's sleepwalking now, per him, he can't be held responsible for what he does.
Ladies, for I don't Sam. Know why. I don't know why we drafted things FSG would say when we have Sam Kennedy right here.
Don't you dare call my son Sam Kennedy. Hey, go to bed, buddy. I'm serious. I
want to give you a sleep hug.
Oh, thank you.
That's when I'm asleep, I give you a hug.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to sleep back.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you can barely hear me. I don't know what that is.
So I fixed it. It was my fault. Don't worry. It's been fixed.
I didn't want to say anything because that happened. This is a pattern.
Yeah. But now I've moved on to a new problem.
What's
I don't know. How are you going to be angry about anything after you get a sleep? He's still sleepwalking behind you.
He's really committed to the bed. The Bayo thing is really like, we're going to get into it, obviously, yeah. But it's the one thing I wanted to say to you is that you say to me that when I write things, I have good kickers. And I think that you're not the first person to say that. I'm pretty good at it. The last one I had was like, it's only going to get worse after Giulietto got hurt. Even when I was writing that, I was like, I don't necessarily believe this. I just think it sounds good.
Yeah.
Because like, it sounds good. Where could it, how much work? Like, I think I knew instinctively, but we hadn't seen it. That this was coming. This is the Bayo contract is the entire point of the Bloom Breslow project. Like that's it, right?
Well, hold on. I'll step in here and I'll be the negative one. I'm happy that this happened today. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I agree.
They bought out 2 years of free agency, really just one and an option for a second. These types of deal, you know, everyone's talking about Braves model. This isn't exactly the Braves model. This is a risk management deal that's been pretty commonplace for a number of years now. The Red Sox did it with Garrett Whitlock just a couple of years ago. It's, you know, Brian Bayo gets a guarantee that even if he partially tears his UCL like Lucas Giolito did, he still gets paid. The Red Sox get a guarantee that even if Brian Bayo ends up in the top 10 of the Cy Young voting in the next 2 years, they don't face sky high arbitration awards and they don't lose him, you know, as soon as he hits year six. And they tack on a little extra time. Like, he was already on the team until 2028, and now he's on the team until 2029 and maybe 2023. It's not like the Braves deal, like Austin Riley signed a 10-year, $220 million deal. What the Braves model would be locking up Tristan Casas right now.
Well, I think that's the idea. And so my group chats are discussing the merits of Bayo. And what I said was,
you talk about the Red Sox with other people.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. Unfortunately, one of them is Jake too, which is awful.
But Jake's in a group chat about the Red Sox with you, and I'm not.
It's our fantasy league.
Oh, gee, that's okay. Barely.
Bob joined our fantasy league. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, so now the three of you are in a group chat about the Red Sox.
Do you know who Bob replaced ultimately? Keaton.
It was your other mortal enemy, but I guess not.
No, that motherfucker, I would not let that motherfucker into the league. But the point being that...
Well, no, you have a mortal enemy in the league already. Remember? You have many mortal enemies. We've discussed this many times.
See, that's the bigger issue. My thing is that I'm happy the Red Sox made the move, obviously, but they painted themselves... You want to get the... People want to... I think there are Bluminati of Red Sox and even non-Red Sox fan ilk who want Bloom to have been right. And in fact, I tweeted about all this, and the editor of D-Rays Bay tweeted at me because we've been friends. Also, he lives in Boston, or has. He's the opposite. You know, he's...
Yeah.
You don't expect that. But Bay, this is... To me, this was sort of a pro forma move. I'm happy to see it having been done. But this is the entire point of the whole project. And he is number one. He is the first one.
Yes. The entire point is never, ever, ever have to pay for pitching. That's the entire point.
To pay everyone everyone you can $9 million a year, who might be good.
Yeah.
For as long as you can. That's it.
So hooray, great. They managed some risk with Brian Bayo's contract, and he managed some risk for himself. It doesn't change the long-term outlook of the roster really in any major way at all.
No, because I think this was priced in the whole time. This is maybe not him specifically, but the entirety of the project. But at the same time, so I'm thinking about this, and the D-Rays guy was, and I like him, and he was sort of like, I guess Bloom wasn't the problem after all. Bloom didn't fucking sign Brian Bayo?
Yeah.
No. He did not. The problem is that Bloom didn't have a guy that you wanted to give the same contract to right now that you did with Bayo, who's an international free agent, who has been in the system since he was 17. You have guys you drafted who were 19 and 20.
I will, quick note, just because I like mentioning this about Brian Bayo, and it's interesting. Brian Bayo actually has not been in the organization that long. Brian Bayo signed with the Red Sox when he was 18 and a half. And I'm not calling you out on this. You're not supposed to know this. Nobody knows this. But it is interesting because, like you said, like, all 99% of Dominican ball players who are in the major leagues today signed when they were 16 or 17 years old. Brian Bayo did not. No one signed him when he was 16. Nobody signed him when he was 17. And I think that probably, like, that experience probably played a role in him being willing to take, you know, a deal that may end up severely underpaying him if he reaches his potential. Because for 2 years, he was a teenager in the Dominican, like, probably watching a lot of friends and teammates and rivals he played with sign with major league teams, and he wasn't signed, which makes me even more happy for him to get the bag today. That, you know, it's easy to give up. Even when you're only 16, 17 years old, it's easy to give up, and he didn't. And the Sox eventually did sign him 2 years after almost every Dominican baseball player does sign, and now he's got his bag, so... It's a good day. I'm not mad about it. I'm not angry about
it. No,
of
course.
It just doesn't change that much about the trajectory of the team.
If he wasn't going to be around for that X number of years, that would be a major problem.
Yes, that would be.
Especially given the Gio Little injury, which we are going to talk about on this very, very special edition of the Monster Sox podcast after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Giolito is dead. Will he pitch for the Red Sox? Might not.
He's currently traveling to Alabama for a second opinion.
Why do you go to Alabama? Who do you see in Alabama?
Well, I don't. He's not going to see Andrews, but isn't Andrews also from the? Isn't he also in the Deep South somewhere down there? He is.
I thought Andrews was in Alabama.
I think he might be. So maybe he's going to see Dr. James Andrews' rival, Alabama orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, I was going to say. Because if you know he's
He's not going to see Dr. James. It's
whatever.
I read the name this morning.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I, in fact, actually think and admitted to way more than Rafael Devers signs the major contract right after the hockey game where John Henry gets booed. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a coincidence that Bayo happened right after Giolito.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, this Bayo thing's been telegraphed for a month now. He said Bayo himself spoke to the media several weeks when spring training started and said, like, yeah, we're talking things. You know, I feel good. I want to be here. He basically said a deal is going to be done, as opposed to Casas. Casas is giving very different vibes than Brian Bayo has.
I understand what you and other people have said with Casas being a little hardball about it.
Oh, I don't think Casas is the one being hardball about it.
He's not rolling over. That's what I'm saying. Yes. The Red Sox are being horrible.
Yeah.
But
this is the difference between a guy. I mean, this probably isn't the only explanation, but it's noteworthy. Again, like I said, Brian Bayo was not signed as a 16-year-old like all his friends were. Whereas Tristan Casas, I'm pretty sure, was technically set the record as the youngest player ever to commit to the University of Miami baseball program. Like he had a public commitment to the University of Miami when he was like 13 years old.
I mean, that shows wisdom. Miami.
He's from there. And it also shows wisdom that he passed up the chance to play for them. But I mean, like, that's the difference between these two guys. I think you have one guy in Bayo who his road has never seemed certain. He was never a top prospect at all until the very end, really until he got to AAA. That's when people started looking at him and saying, hey, maybe this guy can do it. He was never a top 100 guy. He wasn't even a top 20 guy for much of his Red Sox career, versus Casas, who's been like a blue chipper since he was 12 and knows it and thinks the sky's the limit for him. I think we're seeing a very interesting dichotomy between the way these two guys are approaching these negotiations.
I think I strongly prefer Bayo's attitude. I have nothing. I want the best for Casas, for us and for him. And Bayo's a pitcher, so obviously.
Totally different. That's the big difference. Like, Casas doesn't have the specter of one day swinging a bat and then being like, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to swing for another 18 months. Which is why the Red Sox should be even more eager to sign him to a long-term deal. I am I'm a huge believer in Tristan Casas, as anyone who's listened to this podcast knows, as anyone who's read this site knows. I think it's kind of I don't think people in the larger baseball world and even most casual Red Sox fans understand how good he was from June through the end of the year last year. And I think there's a good chance this season, 2024, the year of our Lord, 2024, that Tristan Casas gets MVP votes. I think he's going to be that good. He looks, I don't know if you've seen him in camp yet, he's significantly slimmer. Not like in an emaciated way, but in like he's lost the baby fat way. Like he did the thing he did the thing that you hope that these hotshot rookies do after a year, after they get their feet wet, they struggle a little bit, they see what it takes. He clearly went home in the offseason and shed some pounds and got in even better shape. We already know, because it's been covered extensively, like he's incredibly keyed into nutrition. The only concern I have with Casas, the only concern is that, you know, throughout his time in the minors, he's been injury prone. But, you know, whatever. That everyone's injury prone. That happens. So I'm not going to – I really think, like, he could have a monster year this year. And if the Sox don't sign him before opening day, it could cost him, like, an extra $56 million.
Well, I do need to say I don't think he's going to get MVP votes this year.
I'm saying it's possible. I'm saying it's, I'm not predicting that. I do think that it is possible.
Well, I mean, okay. I'm not going to – obviously, I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to drill down into the specifics. I think that it would be more likely that he got MVP vote. Oh, like, oh, see, Tristan Cobb's has got a vote. Oh, you know what? He did have a really good season.
He had a really good season. That. Chris Martin got a Cy Young vote last year. I mean,
I don't want to talk about Chris Martin because Fitzy has just ruined Chris Martin for me. Right. It's just awful. The reason I said when we started this podcast that I regretted the kicker on my last article or saying it's only going to get worse, is I having thought about it for like 10 seconds after I published it, it was like, actually, it's not. This is
it's not.
This is the that was like the Giolito injury was the real turning point. That was like the bottom. I honestly, that was the bottoming out. Because I don't think that they're going because it's so close to the season starting. And yeah, there's Montgomery talks and whatever, but I really for as much as the Red Sox have been linked to Montgomery, I just don't believe any of it because if they wanted him in my head. It would have been done so much earlier. If I'm wrong, that'd be great. But that's just what I think. But when the Giolito injury happened, and then I wrote up a piece, and we got Colonel Kurtz up on overthemonster.com, which, you know, great.
Still up there on page one.
Still up there. Your piece has got way more comments than mine, man.
That's
I just checked.
Well, I got mine was up first. That's so.
No. You have like 2.5 times as much. It's, Dan will not accept that his piece was better than mine, and it was. But the point being,
publicly,
you wouldn't accept it privately, and now you're like, oh no, maybe I'll accept it privately. Anyhow, point being that I think that the inflection point has now happened. I think that the Giolito injury didn't have to happen for it to be such an obvious inflection point, but that it happened. And then they right, immediately explain, did the Bayo deal. It's so easy to be like,
explain. So you're saying inflection point. So explain to me like direction A to Giolito injury, direction B.
The point being that Giolito was always part of a stopgap strategy. In my opinion, like to be respectable until you could get to the point where your long-term strategy was kicking in.
Mm.
And maybe then he's around. But he didn't even make it that far. And you're like, well, yeah. Fuck, this sucks. Are they even? And then no. Are they even going to do this? And then they signed Bayo. It's like, okay. I have been very, very, very hard on this. And no matter how it turns out, if they win a World Series in 2 or 3 years, I don't think anything I'm saying is less true. Like, you could have done this easier and you could have done it faster. You chose to do it this way. But the Bayo deal is the beginning of like sowing the fucking fruit that you've planted. This is the Bloom doctrine. It really is. Even though he isn't the guy who did it, you don't agree. I can tell.
I don't agree. I don't think the Bayo deal signals anything different. I don't think it does.
I don't think it thinks anything different too. I think this is exactly what they've wanted the whole time. They just haven't had the people to sign to these type of contracts yet.
I think that is probably true. So a couple of things. One, I actually don't think Lucas Giolito was a stopgap solution. I think Lucas Giolito was signed when Craig Breslow was in a much different place this offseason. I think Lucas Giolito was signed with the intent being like, as Breslow told us his plan. Greg Breslow told us his plan on the day he had his introductory press
conference. I love that about the guy. He does, he does sort of say what he's up to.
You know, he comes from the Joel Osteen school of speaking from the heart.
And I don't.
You've ruined Greg Breslow for me.
I know, it's awful. For me, too. I was watching 2013 highlights the other day, and I saw the Ortiz home run into the, and I saw him. I'm like, oh, God, I'm fucking yeah. Go ahead.
So I think the Giolito deal only makes sense in the context of Breslow being like, okay, we'll pick this guy up, you know, for this year. Me and Andrew will turn him around, but you know, he's gonna be the one of two or three guys we pick up, and he's not gonna be the best one we pick up. Because like everyone has talked about how weird this contract is for where the Red Sox are, or let me clarify, for where the Red Sox ended the offseason. The Red Sox ended the offseason with Craig Breslow telling us we're not in a position to trade present wins for, or sorry, to trade future wins for present wins. Well, if that's what you believe, you wouldn't sign a reclamation project and give him a deal that's structured in such a way that if he's good, he's gone. And if he's bad and or hurt, he's here. And that's exactly what the Giolito deal never made sense from a long-term standpoint at all. So to me, the Giolito deal was like this goes hand in hand with Full Throttle, with Peter Gammons talking about how things have changed. You know, these whispers that we haven't gotten full explanations for. Like, I think the Giolito signing in Breslow, when it was made, I think Breslow anticipated it being, you know, step one of revamping the 2024 pitching staff. And then things changed, and we've talked about it, whether it was just massively, massively misreading the Yamamoto market, whether it was massively misreading the market for their own prospects, or whether it was Breslow coming in, doing a full audit of the organization and saying this team's in worse shape than I thought. Something changed. And so I think at that point, like the Giolito deal no longer made sense. Like they shifted strategies in the offseason. So I don't think he was a stopgap. Like I think he was signed with the intent that like, oh, we'll turn him around and he'll be a great number three guy on our staff this year. And then they never got around to filling in slots one and two. So I don't think he was a stopgap. And then when it comes to Bayo, you know, look, the more I think about that, we've been talking for 3 years now about what is John Henry thinking? What are the Red Sox thinking? Why are they radically changing strategies? And the more I think about it, and I wrote about this in the Giolito piece. I wasn't thinking about this came to me sort of as I was writing, which is, you know, happens a lot. Who was it? Sontag or whatever, who said that like writing is thinking, you know, you start, you sit down, you start writing, your ideas start moving in your head, and you, all of a sudden you realize you think something you didn't think before.
This motherfucker is quoting Susan Sontag.
I am.
Paraphrasing Susan Sontag.
I actually don't even know if it was Sontag.
So might have been Didion. It sounds very Didion.
It does sound Didion-esque. We can look it up at the next break. But I really do think I kind of figured it out. I kind of cracked the code. Like, everything that the Red Sox have done for the last 5 years, I think, is now explained by the fact that John Henry is simply terrified, 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 terrified of pitching and of paying money to pitchers. We've known about this all along. We've known about this going back to the Lester negotiations. We've known about this. When they traded John Lester away. And,
Have you seen the Chris Sale spring highlights?
I haven't.
He's fucking ripping it.
I'm sure he is. And I hope he does. And I hope he does.
Too. I have nothing against Chris Sale.
And I'm not going to say there's nothing Chris Sale could do this year that would make me say that was a bad trade either.
There's no, nothing. he could replay the World Series final out, and I'm like, that's fine. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good with
it. It was still a good trade. I'm happy. It was still a good trade. So like, yeah, I wish him all the success in the world. I can't wait to see Vaughn Grissom get back on the field.
I also can't wait until July. Like, I love July.
It's God nice damn it. Month. Don't say that. No, no, really, no. Don't say that.
Lots of nice things happen.
Come on.
Fireworks. Don't say that. Barbecues. Bars.
Shut up. Shut up. We have time for negativity later. We're not starting. We're starting 27 minutes.
Starting now is 27 minutes. Yeah, there we go.
But no, like we heard about this. This was reported in the John Lester, you know, when John Lester was insultingly lowballed, and we heard that John Henry doesn't want to give long-term deals to pitchers over 30. And, you know, Lester obviously would have been a great investment, went on to help the Cubs win the World Series. And immediately after letting him go,
but this Chris Sale thing happened after Lester.
Well, I think what happened is, you know, he
was like, oh, this is an exception. And then the exception bit him right in the ass. And he's like,
he was talked into the price deal. The sale extension is a different story than the sale trade, but
yes,
you know,
no, the sale trade is unimpeachable.
Yeah. And I think
the extension is different, but
right. And this, once the sale extension blew up, I think he said to himself, I was right all along. We're never doing this again. We're never, ever, ever giving big money to a pitcher over 30. And so the Bayo deal, I don't think signals anything different. I don't think it signals any different. I think he would have done that. The Red Sox would have done this. Well, I guess they didn't. Well, Lester did sign an extension initially, right? Or do I have that wrong? Like, Lester wasn't, like, he didn't leave after 6 years. He left after, like, 8 or 9, right?
That seems right to me. Right now,
So, like, yes, the Red Sox did the Bayo deal with John Lester. Yeah, of course. He made his debut in 2006 and was on the team through 2014. So, yes, he was extended at one point before he was traded. So like I don't think this is anything new. I don't think this is Chaim Bloom's plan at all. This is just John Henry being like, yeah, cool. We only have to give him $50 million over 7 years. Great, cool, do it.
I don't know if it's Chaim Bloom's plan, but I think that it was part of Chaim Bloom's plan.
Signing a good young player through his ARB years and two pages.
Yeah, what I'm saying is like that's not the whole point. My whole point is it's never been rocket science, and they've tried to make it rocket science. It's not rocket science. You have good young players, sign them to long deals.
Yeah.
And then like the only way that it really blows up is if they're wander. I'm sorry. Let's move on.
All right. On that note, is there anything else we should discuss before we find out what you're angry about this week?
The thing is, like, I'm going to stall for time because I stopped. The beta stuff stopped me from being angry. I think that the team is still a cinch to finish in last. I think that this is the Bayo deal has put a little band-aid on, like, as you were saying with the Giolito deal. And I don't necessarily agree with everything you said about it, but it's sort of six of one, half a dozen of the other. He was going to be here for 1 or 2 years maximum under the contract anyway.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are going to be shit this year. They're not. And that's going to fucking suck. But all I want is an acknowledgement. And it could be in word or in deed. It could be a statement or an action from the administration that they understand that. The Bayo deal is an example of that. And if this is the big turning the cruise ship around year, the small things shouldn't matter. You should sort of be able to just run them fucking over because you're a cruise ship.
That is true.
I like using boating metaphors, don't I? God damn, I've been using a lot of boating metaphors.
Yeah, well, the cruise ship metaphor I do feel like is particularly apt for this iteration of the Red Sox because this has...
It's an aircraft carrier. It's like, it doesn't turn around. You gotta... It takes a while.
Yeah. And they... And again, if you want to go back to... If you want to go back to the start of this transition period, which is obviously the Mookie trade, you know, they began.
Somebody traded Mookie Betts.
Somebody traded Mookie Betts.
My God.
They began the process of turning the ship around, but also deliberately chose not to turn it around as quickly as possible. Right. Because if they had,
they threw a fucking bomb into the hull and said, okay, fix that, and now we're turning around.
I actually don't even think they said turn around. I think what they did is they threw a bomb into the hull, but said fix it and let's keep going. Whereas the quick thing to do would be to be like, oh, we threw a bomb in the hull. Okay, guess we need a new ship now, and to, you know, sell off everything you can in order to rebuild the ship. They didn't do that. They put a bomb in the hull and they were like, we'll be fine. We'll keep going. And that's why it took so long for them to turn around. This metaphor is tortured enough, I think. Huh?
No, it's fine. Just one of my children has emerged.
Which one?
I think the larger one has gone to the bathroom and then just gone back to sleep because she, okay, she gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that I'm more happy about the Bayo extension than pretty much anything that could happen on the field in spring training.
Oh, I'm not. That's not me at all.
I reserve the right to take it back in 2 weeks when I get excited about insert name here, legging out a triple. But like, in general, I think that the spring training doesn't matter. So
yeah, I again, you know, you're right about that. I don't disagree there, but I don't know. I just can't get that excited about this because, again, like I said, it doesn't change the long-term makeup of the team in any way. We're only talking about one guaranteed extra year, hopefully two, you know, if he doesn't suck.
I think you're making the best point that anybody has made about this. That this is like, this is not a whole new paradigm. This is like a cosmetic addition onto the established framework, which I haven't seen people say. And this is why, as I tweeted in the last couple of days, Over the Monster is the only Red Sox site. We're the only people who
only Red Sox site. Only Red Sox site. Yeah.
Only one.
Do you know what our top story is right now?
Jacob Roy's 4,000 words.
4,000 words on the bullpen.
Yeah.
4,000 words on the bullpen. Show
me. People love that. People love the Red Sox, but they don't want to be lied to.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
Show me another place where you're getting 4,000 words on the bullpen.
It's not rocket science. And it's nice that we're the only people that do it. And I don't think we're being immodest by saying so. Nobody else is trying.
That's
anyhow, we're great. That's the point.
Yeah. All right, should we find out how angry you are this week?
Shit, yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, for those who need a recap or for those who are new, last season we introduced Brian's anger scale. We stopped doing it for reasons unknown. I don't know, maybe we thought it got a little stale, maybe I got lazy, maybe a little bit of both, but I am now committed. I'm going to commit to you right now. We're going to do this all season long this year. And I'm going to chart this in a spreadsheet.
But so last, I think we did it a lot last year.
We did a lot.
But I think that we got into like a point where all of us were just like mud bathing in the mirth of the season.
Yeah. It was like, well, do you think the season's going to be any different?
Absolutely not. But my point is that like it's the beginning. So I am ahead of the gang.
Yeah.
Being miserable about things. But it doesn't really have to do with the Red Sox. I mean, sort of does, but
that is true. So again, to review how we do this, both for listeners and for Brian, who I'm sure has forgotten. So I am going to ask him a series of questions. Usually we do, so 3 to 6, lay out a scenario. I ask him how angry it makes him. Sometimes it doesn't make him angry at all. And that's where we then add points. So if he gives me an anger, you give me an anger. I don't know why I'm saying he, like I'm talking to an audience. I'm just talking to you.
You're talking to an audience.
Sure, I guess. So you're going to give me, you're going to give me a value based on how angry you are. And the higher the number, the more angry you are. The lower the number, including into negatives, the less angry you are.
Right.
And this is where it gets fun. So if the number is negative, you're happy. If it's positive, you're mad.
I'm going to be honest with you. I did forget. I remembered it immediately once you started describing it, but I did forget.
I knew you forgot based on your texts to me about this. What did you prepare something different for this?
No, No. This is what I love about this is that I don't have to prepare. You prepare. So and you throw shit at me, and I respond.
I could tell based on the text you didn't remember quite how it worked.
I didn't remember quite how it worked. I just remember that I was angry, and we mined it for content.
Okay, all right. Let's begin. Here we go. We'll stay on topic. I'm going to start with a tweet from an account at Boston Sports Inf. I think that stands for info. The Red Seat already read this tweet on the podcast that they released yesterday, and they mentioned it in their article. Brian, how angry are you that since 2020, this is assuming Lucas Giolito does not throw a pitch this year. Since 2020, the Red Sox will have spent $184.5 million for 151 total innings pitched from the trio of Chris Sale, David Price, and Lucas Giolito.
I'm positive is actually mad, right?
Positive is mad, yes.
I'm 5 mad, but only that because Price was in the Mookie trade. Pitching is the reason that Price bothers me is that it was all for a different team. It wasn't. I don't blame the Red Sox for pitchers fucking up.
This, all right, keep going because you are close to getting the right answer here. Keep going. Keep riffing because I know what the right answer to this is.
Oh, nice. Nice. Keep
going. Riff here.
And I don't.
You're going to get there.
And I don't blame the Red Sox for signing Chris Sale to an extension because he just finished the greatest season in team history and one of the greatest seasons in baseball history. So
keep going. You're going to get there.
This is lovely. Who is the third person? It was
Lucas Giolito.
And again, nothing wrong with the Giolito.
Keep going.
It was great. The only reason that it bothered, the only reason I would give it a 5 is because of Price being in the Betts contract. If it was independent of that, it'd be 0. It'd be totally flat.
I'm so proud.
Pitching is unstable. You pay money. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. That's just what fucking happens.
I am so, so proud of you for saying this.
Thank you, Dad.
I really, because this tweet's been going around and people are like, oh my God, oh, so much money for a few innings. First of all, I'm mad, but I'm mad about this tweet.
Yeah. I'm
not mad about what it's because, first of all,
are you mad about it as that it is engagement bait or the way that it is engagement bait?
Both, because I'm mad about it for being engagement bait in the first place, because of that $184.5 million, almost all of it is attributable to Chris Sale, right? So it's like kind of dumb, first of all, to tack on David Price and Lucas Giolito, especially when, as you note, like they chose to send David Price to another team and lower that innings total. They chose to send David Price to another team. But beyond that, as we've discussed, like fans shouldn't care so much about quote unquote value of a deal. They shouldn't care. And this is a really good example of why, because okay, yeah, that sounds like a lot of money and it sounds like not a lot of innings. But David Price and Chris Sale were key contributors on the greatest Red Sox team of all time.
And not only that, during the season, this is way before you joined our parts and took us over. But during the Rick Porcello Cy Young season, if you look at its advanced stats, David Price was as good, if not better.
David Price was sick.
He was.
The Red Sox do not win.
He just didn't get the wins and losses. David Price. And if your deal is like, wow, the Red Sox are dumb for paying Chris Sale, it's like, you know what? Chris Sale, as we've said many, I've said many, many times, there are X number of people who play baseball. And there are a very, very, and I don't think David Price even counts in this category of players who are, there's a very small category of players who are so clearly better at the sport than everybody else. And Chris Sale is that. And you know what? You were chasing a dream when you signed the extension. But that motherfucker could do it. And like, that's just, sometimes you waste money on pitching. It happens.
I'm going to go further than you, Brian. I'm not saying it happens. I'm saying it's guaranteed to happen.
Of course.
Like, this is pitching. This is how it works. The Chris Sale extension, the one caveat I'll say there is like, look, he was obviously, something was wrong at the end of the 2018 season. Like, we could all see that.
But it's just because they won. It's like the timing. I get it.
Yeah. And you're right. He was a generational talent. And look, like, you know,
I don't even think generational talent is the right way to put it. He is just one of the top 1% of talented players to ever play baseball.
I won't object. I will let you say that.
He's just better than most people. And he was a good bet. It's possible he wasn't the best bet given his injury history. But given his ceiling, he was always an acceptable bet. Because his ceiling, and I hope we see it this year. That's the one thing. If he bounces back and does this, no one will say shit about this. Like, they just happened to get Chris Sale during the down years. And then he came back and did what he did with Atlanta. No. So, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, five. Just because David Price Mookie trade, when David Price was so much better for the Reds. I mean, he was an asshole on a plane with Dennis Eckersley. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. It's like whenever anyone talks about like David Price's attitude, that's the only incident I have any problem with. Like that was weird. And even in that case, we should note that plenty of other players, including Dustin Pedroia, like stood up for Price. And yeah, of course they would. Because what was he being an asshole about? He was being an asshole about a disparaging comment about his teammate. About a guy that he's in the trenches with for 8 months of the year.
So his problem is that he ran into a guy in Eckersley who is uniquely, through his Red Sox history, his life experience, I would even say his sobriety, very attuned to living moment to moment. And I understand. I think Dennis Eckersley would understand. Yeah, like he was on baseball teams for 20 fucking years, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like David Price may think that's the weird thing is he made things so much worse when he was like, some people just don't understand how hard the game is. Like,
yeah. Dennis you didn't actually win a Cy Young Award and he did. Like,
yeah.
He won and was also
on the other end of one of the 5 most famous home runs in baseball history.
Oh, five. Definitely even three.
Dennis Eckersley understands how hard baseball is. So David Price was an ass in that situation, but he was being an ass in service of his teammate.
And I understand, like, I understand Pedroia. And we've talked about Pedroia too, where I'm happy for the people who've spoken out about the Red Sox. It does seem to be focused on the no one from like 2007. It's the later years. I don't think anyone from 2004 to 2007 has had come out and had like a real opinion on the Red Sox.
Well, Poppy kind of has a little bit.
But Poppy is a national commentator. Like he's,
yeah.
Poppy is bigger than all of it. I mean, someone who was a workaday player for the 07 or 04 team to come out and be like, wow, yeah, this diminishes my contribution. I don't care. Anyhow,
that's because nobody's talking to Mark Bellhorn these days. I'm sure he's got thoughts.
He hit some fucking serious home runs.
He sure did.
All right. Lay it on me. Let's go.
All right. So you are a 5 there. Okay. Let's move to something more lightheaded. Brian Joyner, how angry are you about the fact that both Tristan Casas, who did this a couple of weeks ago, and now Marcelo Meyer, who did this just a couple of days ago, have shaved heads? I realized looking at you.
So I didn't think this was a video podcast, but Fans for Sports Network recently indicated that it might be for some people. And for those people, they will realize that my negative 10, because as of leap day, I had not, I shaved my head in like October, and then I didn't do it until leap day. But since leap day, I have gone, I've just gone back every day.
Yeah, I like it. I think this is a good look.
This is what my brother, my brothers do this exact thing.
Are you guys all bald? Well, you're not bald.
I have the ability to grow more hair than they do.
Yeah, I can see the follicles.
Yeah, no. My brothers have said if I could grow as much hair as you could, I would consider having hair. But what I think they're saying is like, what I know with from being very similar to them is like, you wouldn't. It's like, you think because I'm closer that you'd be there, but like, no, this is the way to go. So, negative 10, I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it. Okay. Did you get a look at off season long hair Casas? Because it wasn't just like he let it go.
They can just do it again. This is like Boogie Nights.
It's gonna take a year for him to get back to where he was.
It's like Boogie Nights. First scene where Dirk and Amber Waves do it, and they say, "Oh," because she says, "Oh, come in me," and he does. Like, "Oh, there's no cum shot," and he's like, "Do you want me to do it again?" It's like, you just do it again. Why not? Just do it again. Yeah, they're young, dumb, and full of hair. They will just grow it again.
That is true. I did think it was interesting. So I don't know if you heard the interview. So Meyer's head was apparently shaved. It sounds like he at least based on the way he told the story, it was kind of spur of the moment. And it was Roman Anthony who did it. And the way Meyer told the story, he was telling it as like, look how close we are. That's, you know, we're such good friends that last night he suggested, let me shave your head. And I said, yes. And obviously, I hope that's the case. But a little part of me was thinking, like, Roman Anthony just, like, usurped your spot as the number one prospect on the team.
It's like the senior going up to the sophomore being like, look, this guy's so cool. Like, look at him.
Yeah, is he just trying to see, like, how much he can take?
You're the senior!
Yeah.
No, I feel like I'm so down on Mayer that I really want him to now turn it around.
You're really down on him, huh? Or you just
it's
just
hard. Concerned. Like it's so crazy because a half season of results will change anybody's perspective 180 degrees. But right now, I would not. I mean, I would definitely. I'm way more excited about Anthony than I am.
How could you not be? If you knew nothing about the 2021 draft, and you were just basing it on their professional careers, like you wouldn't think it was even close.
I think that there's also, and I don't think that this is much an issue that the best baseball players that filter up all play middle infield, like all round baseball players,
of course,
middle infield or center field or catcher, right? Like that's it, right? And so they're alluring and they are good. They are good. And I think that Mayer will be good enough within that framework. But that is simply the easiest framework to acknowledge and to nurture. And then you see where it ends up. Whereas Anthony is more the, there are 100 guys who could turn into the guy, and you have jumped into the top three of that.
Yeah.
Because I think Anthony has truly jumped in. And so look, good things on both sides of the ball, but I would put my eggs, if I laid eggs, in the Roman Anthony basket.
Yeah, me too. I think I agree. I think a lot of I always get concerned with prospects like Meyer who and look, this applies to Anthony in center field to some extent too, but prospects who derive so much of their value because they play a middle infield position, you know, and you're talking about like the fact of the matter is if Marcelo Meyer were a left fielder, no one would care about him. And maybe I'm being a little glib when I say that because that's just
I don't think you are at all like that. The best players in baseball, when they come up, will come up to the best player. Like, there are so many shortstops that come up because they're the best player on their team. And so they played shortstop.
Right.
But that's all that means. I'm with you. I this just goes to my Mayer worry, which is one thing I need to say is like it's a good worry to have. Like, you know, we're lucky to have gotten in where we did, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't pencil him into future plans. I mean, he's in the future plans of the Red Sox, but I don't mentally pencil him into the lineup just yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think Anthony and Teal will both beat him to the major leagues.
I mean, I know you think Teal will. Teal is your boy. You still think he's going to make it this year, or was that just a hot take?
That was more of a I'm not a Connor Wong believer than anything else.
Frankly, honestly, I could see it.
I could see. I mean, he's still like I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Kyle Teal's power profile. I am. I know that there are some scouts and there are outliers who really don't like the way he catches and releases the ball, and that's beyond my pay grade. I can't look at a catcher and be like, oh, look at that footwork. I can't do that. But I know there are some people who have that opinion that, you know, his technique in throwing runners out, they say, like, won't necessarily translate. That's a minority opinion because his pop times are great so far. Like, the actual times are great. So I don't quite get that minority opinion. I am worried about the power profile for sure. So, like, Anthony's the guy that I'm looking at right now being like, okay, this is – Anthony's the one who could be the next Red Sox superstar.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to see Marcelo Meyer as a superstar right now.
And I think that this is the major, you know, like the Bayo deal is a big win for them, but this is as I wrote, this is like the river of apocalypse now. And, there's not any guarantee that the guys they have are going to pop.
No.
The way they need them to pop. However, all they can do is make informed decisions. At the same time, for this year, kind of doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, Portland Sea Dogs are going to be arguably as important this year as the Boston Red Sox are, and the Red Sox made the choice.
By the way, I was looking at in my dynasty league, no one has Jay Groom, however you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's even rostering him, and I'm like,
time
flies, guys.
Yeah, and Eric Hosmer's retired. Sad.
For now.
Yeah, for now. All right. Next one. This one we've already covered, but I'll ask it anyway. So how angry are you about the fact that on the day that Brian Bayo was extended, Tristan Casas said, quote, there have been no developments whatsoever in his contract talks.
Negative 10. I don't give a fuck about you today, Casas. Fuck off. This is not about you. This is about Brian Bayo.
Well, he was asked.
He is bright.
Like, right? It's not, you can't blame him.
I literally just did. Shut the fuck up.
So wait, are you mad? It sounds like you're mad at him.
I'm not actually mad. Still give him a 10, but I'm not actually. Right. It's not a real 10.
I still say the Casas extension is more important than the Bayo extension.
Here's the thing. Of course it is. That's why it hasn't been done. The Bayo was the easy one because they have way more negotiating room. There's way more uncertainty in terms with the like future potential top cut. Because look, as we know with Giolito, as we know with many pitchers, Chris Sale, David Price, many of them. Tomorrow, we could wake up and it could be like, oh, Bayo's out for the year. Peace.
It literally could happen.
Yes, of course. That's the whole point of the point of the piece I wrote. It's like, you know what? If you're thin, especially in pitching, that shit will cut. Catch up to you. So, all right.
Okay. That anger seems a little misplaced, but we'll move
on. That's fine.
Okay. How angry are you about the fact that yesterday Ken Rosenthal reported that Alex Cora put his house up for sale? And apparently he did this, according to Cora, on the advice of someone, quote, in another MLB organization. And then I proceeded to spend an hour on Zillow trying to find the listing and reach out to you for ethical guidance about whether we could post.
Didn't he retract this?
Well, you didn't let me finish. My question is, how angry are you that all of this happened? And then Ken Rosenthal went, oh, sorry, I forgot to put the word not. The quote should have been, Alex Gore says, my house is not up for sale.
This is like Richard Nixon being like, oh, I meant to say I am a crook. I am a my opinion of Ken Rosenthal is not one that comports with people who I like and respect.
I don't have much.
I think he fucking sucks.
Think he's a water carrier?
No, he's. I don't think he's a water carrier. He is 100% a water carrier. You've seen him
going back and forth from the well.
There's also and I think this is an ironclad rule, and I think you will never be let down. Don't trust a motherfucker in a bow tie, ever. 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 At the same time, he is...
Can I amend that a little bit?
Okay. Nation of Islam is fine.
No.
But other than that,
I was just going to amend it a little bit because my grandfather wore bow ties on occasion, and in fact, like he tried. It's
2024. No. Dead? Of course he's dead.
Well, yeah, but he only died. I guess he died a while ago. But like he wore it. A couple of things. He wore it partly because he knew that no one else did, and he wanted to sort of keep it alive. And what I want to amend is that my problem with Ken Rosenthal isn't the bow tie. The people I think you shouldn't trust is anyone who has a signature look. Like, that's who you shouldn't trust, whether it's a bow tie or whether it's like a white suit with Tom Wolfe or whatever. Anyone who has a look, that's who you shouldn't trust.
That's a better way of saying what I was trying to say. I totally agree with that. But Rosenthal specifically, and this applies to Jason Stark as well. Doesn't make me happy to say this, but at the same time, I've worked in media my whole life and I get it. The media landscape is very small now. They are as much as the content as the baseball players, and they spit out the lowest common denominator shit to create as much drama as possible. Especially because baseball isn't interesting to a lot of people. Now it's interesting to us, obviously. But Rosenthal, the next Rosenthal piece that really impresses me will be the first one. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I've never been like, oh, I gotta read
that. Like, he's like Schefter. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that teams are reporting through him.
Mm-hmm.
He's important in that sense. I totally understand that. But in terms of what he is doing to advance himself, the understanding of the game, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't disagree, except I will note, and I wish I remembered what it was, but he was fired from MLB Network, right? For being critical about something?
That sounds right, but I sense it was something very stupid.
It probably was.
And I did like when he...
be totally unfair to him.
We're gonna
Are you looking this up? I was going to look this up. One of us needs to talk and the other one needs to look this up. That's how you need to work it. Ken Rosenthal out at MLB Network over Rob Manfred over, well, they cut off there. Ch-ch-ch-ch.
I have a good Rob Manfred story.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
It wasn't my first job. It was my second job in media I was an editor at the Queen's Chronicle, which is not the Queen's Courier, which my first job at Queen's Chronicle was the middle of Queens. And the guy who ran it was the son of the founder and the publisher. And he was like running the family business for his mom, who was still alive. But he lived in Irvington, which is in Westchester County, right near where I live now. But I, at the time, seemed like outer space.
And at one New York point, City does that. It really does.
And at one point, he told me, hey, you know, my neighbor is the head lawyer for MLB. Who is that? He's like, Rob Manfred. He's my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's cool, man. It's cool. And then I didn't realize until was like, Rob Manfred is a shithead. He fucking sucks.
He's awful.
He really fucking sucks.
He's truly, truly awful.
He's awful. All right. Do we have any more anger things? Or
I do. You never gave me a score for how angry are you that I spent an hour looking for Alex Gore's house on Zillow. Only for Ken Rosenthal to be like, sorry, I forgot to put the word not in there.
-10. I'm not mad at all.
Like, you're not mad at all.
You just did that on your own.
I did.
You did text me about the
ethical quandary. Yeah. I didn't want to die.
And just to show people that we're transparent here, I said, look, just say that the house is up for sale and one of the readers will just blast it, and then we don't have to take credit for it. Somebody else will have done it. So
So in case anyone is curious, in this search I did not find out Alex Cora has covered his tracks very, very well. It's not unusual for, you know, famous people, powerful people, rich people to not buy houses in their own name, but to set up LLCs and stuff, and that's how you buy the house. So it looks like Alex Cora did that. I was not able to find any deeds with his name on it or his wife's name on it.
What about Joey Cora? Did you look for Joey Cora?
I did not look for Joey.
Oh,
I should have.
Oh, my God. I bet Joey did it.
Joey Cora's house is out there. I did find Craig Breslow's house.
Joey Cora's house and Alex Cora's house, I don't think would be in the same neighborhood. I think there's a there would be a quite a different socio.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I've never actually compared their stats, but in my head, Joey Cora was a much better player.
Yeah.
And yet Alex, his younger brother, has totally eclipsed him in every way post playing career. You know, he's the guy who's on the broadcast. He's working for ESPN. Joey Cora has been coaching in the major leagues for 20 years, and
there are some people that are just charming and they just have it, you know.
They just have it, yeah. Alex does. All right. Speaking of broadcasts and Alex Cora, how angry are you about the fact that did you watch the game today, by the way, before I ask this question?
No, I was busting my ass in the Bronx today.
Okay, so this was a nationally televised game. This was on ESPN. Carl Ravitch, Eduardo Perez, David Cone doing the Red Sox Bravo spring training game.
David Cone doing himself. Because he masturbated in the bullpen. So that was my joke, because about the doing.
I don't think I knew that.
You don't know that? You know, there's a Mets story where they catch him. He's flogged. He's flogging the hog.
I want to hear about this, but we are also 70 minutes in. So this is a teaser. We're going to lead next week's episode.
No. Everyone who is lasted this long, just Google it. You'll find it.
How angry are you about the fact that Carl Ravitch, during this game, they did a lot of in-game interviews. They spoke with both Devers and Casas, you know, while they were mic'd up in the field. Breslow stopped by in the booth, and they spoke to Alex Cora in between innings. Carl Ravitch directly asked all four of them to respond to, quote, how are you guys feeling about the negativity about the Red Sox these days? I won't bother with giving you the answers. The answers are, you know, whatever. You can predict the answers. But what are your general thoughts about just the fact that on a national broadcast of the Red Sox in spring training, the story, according to ESPN, is, wow, everything about your team is shit right now, huh?
Look, I love that they're just acknowledging the obvious, and I love that the persons answering the question are not Sam Kennedy. That's true. Like, they know what they're doing. And I think part of the reason I said at the top and the middle and now at the end here, said that I think my column where I said things are going to get worse, I'm probably wrong, because this is the true inflection point. The Bayo contract is the entire model for, you know, it's not exact, but if you just apply it in general to the other people coming up with the system, this has been the whole point the whole fucking time. The whole fucking time. Now, that doesn't excuse Bloom. This is the other part. There are people who'll be like, oh, well, then they shouldn't have fired Bloom. It's like, no, he wasn't good at it.
He was still bad, yeah.
He wasn't good at this thing. So, like, this thing is happening regardless of whether he is good at it or not, and he wasn't. But it is happening, and right now, as of today, it has happened.
Yeah. I guess the reason why I asked this question is because I really just, not that I was surprised that Ravitch kept hammering home this narrative. I wasn't surprised about it, given everything that's happened with this team over the last 14 months. But it's still kind of shocking to sit back and be like, how did things unravel to the point where the Red Sox are on ESPN? And the ESPN producers clearly sat down and had a meeting today and said, well, what's the story with the Red Sox? The story with the Red Sox is everyone hates the Red Sox right now. I from where we were in 2018, I did not see this era of baseball coming again.
This is the crazy part to me, because I think that, like, what is the best case scenario? They're not winning the World Series this year. We get that. Okay. But, like, what if next year everything just dovetailed for some reason and they did? Would I then look back and be like, wow, I was fucking wrong? No, I would not. Not leastwise, yeah. Because that's not going to happen. But absolutely fucking not. And by the time they do, it would have been like, you could have won X number of.
Yes. None of the last 5 years.
X number of things before you did it. The point is, their point is, we've done a lot for you, and now we're going to do things this smart way. And my point is, I prefer you try to win the World Series. I'm going with me on this one.
Yeah.
All right.
So what's your recommendations? Score there? Wait, hold on. You haven't given a number. And I also have one more after this.
Oh, shit. All right. Is this a positive or a negative one?
I don't know. I don't know. You can interpret this however you want. Yeah, on the one hand, you can be glad that the national media is asking Craig Breslow this question. On the other hand,
let's go with
mad that it got to this point.
Let's go with a negative five, simply to game theory it. We're gonna go to zero and we're gonna just ride on the last one.
All right, I got one more. It's got nothing to do with the Red Sox, but it does have to do with today's broadcast. Joey Votto popped up on today's broadcast.
Really?
He did. They interviewed him.
Oh my God.
Did you see his tweet yesterday? Joey Votto's tweet?
I did.
You
did.
Okay.
I did. Yes.
So for those who missed it, Joey Votto tweeted a picture of him sadly sitting alone on a bench.
On a bench.
And do you remember the exact words? I don't know what the exact words were, but it was something to the effect of.
I love Joey Votto so much. It's hard to. I know you're talking about Joey Votto, but in our same group chats, I have.
Right, where you talk about the Red Sox.
In the Red Sox signing Greinke just for the fun. Just because it'd be interesting. Like, he's fun.
Yeah. All right. So can you stop talking before you totally step on what I'm about to ask you? So I actually didn't realize until Joey Votto's tweet that he hadn't really retired. Did you know that? I kind of thought he retired. I didn't realize that.
I traded for him for pennies in my dynasty league, and I'm hoping he comes back. So I
okay. So you knew this. I thought he was kind of fine. And
no, the but importantly, the Reds fucking were like, fuck off.
Yeah. So here's what happened in his half inning interview during the game today. He pops up. He's there via satellite in his home. The first thing Carl Ravitch does is reminisce about how when he was like a rookie or in his second or third year, he filmed the SportsCenter commercial where he and Carl Ravitch are in the bathroom and they're like looking at their mustaches in the mirror. And then Mr. Red pops out and shows them up with his mustache.
Sure.
So they're reminiscing about that commercial. I don't know if you remember it or not. And Carl Ravitch says something like, oh, geez, yeah, that was fun, huh? 6 hours in a men's room. And Joey Votto says, only the second longest time I've spent in a men's bathroom in my life. And then this becomes a recurring motif during the inning. He brings it up again. So that's how it starts. Now, let me also point out that Joey Votto's backdrop during this interview consists of a typewriter, which we discussed on the pod a few weeks ago.
Respect.
It consists of.
Are you saying when you say that you mean you're talking about my grandfather's typewriter right there?
Yeah. You and Joey Votto have this in common.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's you and Joey Votto both have typewriters in your backdrops. He has on his bookshelves books about Gandhi, learning to speak Spanish, a number of travel books about, as far as I can remember, there was Greece, there was Dubai, there was Crete, maybe a couple other places, a guide to bow hunting, and a guide about learning to draw. He later then, unprompted, in that half inning, admits that everything he's put behind him, he's put behind there to make him seem more interesting than he is.
What a god.
And then when Carl Ravitch says, how desperate are you to play baseball again? Joey Votto says, I'm so desperate, I would gladly have that meal that put me in the men's room for over 6 hours again.
Oh my god.
So my question to you is, how angry are you that Joey Votto is not on a Major League Baseball team today? That's my question.
So the weird thing about him playing for the Reds is that he's in this situation where obviously I and other people love the idea of, oh, you played your whole career for X team. It's neat, right? It's just neat. He would admit that, like, it's neat. If this were an off season that had happened any other time before now, I'd be like, well, obviously he's going to retire, so nobody's going to sign him. But right now, Blake's the reigning Cy Young winner hasn't fucking signed a deal.
That's absolutely insane,
right? So yeah. It doesn't mean much. I just love him. He's as someone of there's always a push and pull with intelligent people liking baseball and fucking morons playing baseball. And I love Votto because he seems to come as close as possible to people like us who are like, I can talk about like two or three things. I have ideas. And it fucking rules. He's great. He's great. My guess is that he doesn't end up playing. That's my guess.
And you know, I know it makes no sense at all. He's left.
But here's the thing, he'll be an amazing TV guy. Amazing.
He will be an amazing TV guy. Yeah. If that interests him enough to do it.
Right, right. If he wants to, obviously. Like, he doesn't want to.
But yeah, like I totally agree with you. It makes zero sense for the Red Sox He's a left-handed first baseman. The Red Sox starting first baseman is a left-handed first baseman who's much better than him at this point. He brings nothing strategically. Greinke makes a lot of sense. But I would still one of Bobby Dalbec or CJ Cron.
Okay, Bobby Dalbec can be SP4. You're right. He can be the fourth starting pitcher instead of Greinke.
But like I don't care that it makes no sense. I if you're asking me today, sign me up for Joey Votto being on the team over Bobby Dalbec and CJ Cron.
Are you 100%. It's the same reason I want Greinke. It's like, give me something interesting.
Yeah. Greinke does make sense. They need someone to throw in.
Well, the difference, yes, that's the difference there. Where it's like, Greinke would be kind of perfect.
Yeah, Greinke makes sense. Look, I'm excited about the five guys in the rotation, but one of them's going down.
But the other thing also people I think have overlooked is like, Cron is good.
Well, maybe.
Oh, like he's like, okay. Grading on a curve, yeah. Cron is good.
Yeah. I mean, he certainly could be. He was real damn good just 2 years ago. Last year, he was one of the worst players in baseball. Right. But right.
Let's just get to recommendations. What do you have? Right.
You go first.
So here's my recommendation. I drive a lot exclusively for work now. And I drive in very high stress areas. And people are very bad. So my recommendation is, and I do this, I practice what I preach. If you could ever let somebody go ahead of you, if you can ever let somebody squeeze in front of you, just fucking wave at them and let them go. Don't worry about it. Yes, there will be exceptions when you are fucking furious. It doesn't happen. Just make sure that's like the one out of 99 times. The other times, just let people go. They'll wave at you, and do you know how good you'll feel? You'll feel amazing. Now, I understand talking to a lot of Boston people, but I also need to, I have a very specific note for the Boston people, including Dan. I live in New York and it's real and Boston is fake. So I understand that you think that your traffic, like I understand the roads are bad and people drive bad. You don't know shit. You don't know the half of it. And once you do, what you realize is, just wait, just smile and wave. Just let people
go. So we have discussed this before. I think you've recommended this before.
Well, that's possible, but I have not before been driving as much. Because like
that's true. We discussed it, and I made the exact point you did, where like everybody, and it's not just Boston. It's fucking Akron, Ohio. Like everybody is convinced that their hometown has
the worst city to choose as a random city, because I've spent a lot of time in Akron, Ohio. That is the worst fucking city to use. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just talking about traffic. I bet traffic's fine though in Akron. It's my
point. They all have the great Goodyear tires because that's where they come from.
True. Yeah, they never have a flat.
Yeah.
But no, everybody in their city thinks that they have the worst traffic, and they don't. And I think I made this point on the show. Like, New York has the worst traffic. It does. I know that.
I don't even think that's true. I think like Houston, Atlanta, LA have worst traffic.
Well, that's true.
The type of traffic, because of the type of roads, I think New York is. In the Northeast, in the way the roads were made, New York is obviously
the one caveat I'll say to your recommendation though is that I don't think you should let someone else go if you're in a situation where the right of way is clear and you have it. Annoys me more than like when another car has the right of way. And look, the way to be a safe driver is to be a predictable driver. And if you're just like, I'm just going to start letting other people go at an intersection, like, you're not being nice. You're being dangerous and dumb. Like, that's what you're doing.
Dan is 100% right. 100% right. it's not, you don't, you're not passive. You're going with the river. You're like, you're going with the tide.
Yeah.
You're going with the flow. If it is your time to go into a place, go into that place. Don't be passive.
Yeah.
It's time to be passive.
You're not doing anyone a favor.
But here's a better example, because this is what I was thinking of, because I thought about this earlier today. Like, I was coming down the road today, and there was a car. There was, like, a truck that needed to make a left in front of me. And I looked back in my rearview mirror. There's nobody there. So I could have kept going, and they could have done it. But my thing is, like, if I can ever do a thing that doesn't affect me whatsoever, and let somebody else go, just go wave at them. Partially because they'll wave at you and you'll have feel how good you'll feel. You'll feel like, oh my God, you just made American commerce happen.
All right. That's a good recommendation.
All right, what's yours? What's yours?
Well, before we get to that, I'm gonna be a completist about this. You did not give me a grade for how angry you are about Joey Votto not having a team.
Oh shit. That's a zero also, just because I love Joey Votto and I love his social media savvy, but I also think that his social media savvy is perhaps buoying his case to still play in the majors.
I thought you were going to say you're happy. You're kind of happy he's not playing because he has more time to be a fucking goofball.
No, I think that when he gives up playing, he will. Joey Votto isn't going away. He's only going to grow because he's amazing. He's like, there's like 10 baseball players in the last 10 years. He's like, who are like the fucking smartest, coolest players who you would want to listen to for the next 30 years. He is 100% on that list.
I think
that he just doesn't realize that like that time is now.
I agree with that. And I'm glad you just said it that way, because what I was about to say was, I think Joey Votto maybe came 10 or 15 years too early. If Joey Votto was, if he was exactly the same person and player as he always was, but he was
and was an analyst now.
No, I was going to say an analyst. I was going to say, like, if he was 26 years old now, opposed to being 26 years old,
you know what his name would be? Tristan Casas.
Casas has Votto in him. I think he's close. I don't think he's quite.
They would have a great conversation. Great conversation. They would not be the same, but they have a good conversation.
They would have a good conversation. I think Casas will be the closest thing the Red Sox have to Votto right now, but I don't know if he'll be the full Votto.
All right. That is an hour and a half of the motherfucking Monsters of Sox. I can't believe we did it. Dan, can you believe we did it?
This is what happens when we actually prepare for a pod. We have things to say.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I prepared.
That's it. I am Brian Joyner, at Brian Joyner, BrynJoyner. He is Dan Secatore, exactly like it sounds. We will be back in 1 or 2 weeks whenever we decide to be back.